Okay, go ahead.
Oh, me, great. All right, welcome everyone to the Borough of Roosevelt Council meeting for November 20th, 2023. It is 7:18 p.m. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 6, 2023, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Robert Atwood is absent. Mr. Lou Eskoff.
He's here.
Mr. Michael Hamilton.
Here.
Ms. Constance Hertstrom.
Here.
Mr. Stephen Mocker.
Here.
Joe Trammell is absent. Mayor Peggy Malkin.
Here.
Okay. So we have a forum.
Good. All right. I'm going to start the meeting with some sad news. This afternoon, Bill Counterman passed away. Yeah. So I'm just going to say a few words about him. Bill and June moved here 63 years ago, right after they got married. They got married, and I think they rented a house first and then bought their house on Lake. After Bill served in the Navy, he began working for the Institute for Defense Analysis in Princeton. And he worked there until he retired, but then he was bored in retirement, and that's when he began working at the post office. He enjoyed that immensely because he got to be around all the Roosevelt people every day. Bill was also a Boy Scout leader here for many years. A lot of the men who live here and who grew up here, he was their Boy Scout leader. And as many of you know, Bill was a quiet, kind soul. And we will miss him. Our condolences go out to June, Brian, and Jerry. It just happened, so I didn't know if anyone knew yet. Yeah. Where am I? Okay, so that's all I'm really going to.
Did he die at home?
No, they went to the hospital. Okay. So I'm going to just go right to public comment on agenda items only. Open the floor at 7:20 p.m. Anyone from the public have anything they would like to come to the mic?
I'm not
not the public, so you can't. So.
I was just saying I've been to more borough council meetings in Roosevelt than I have in Rocky Hill over the past couple of years.
You know, you feel like home.
Yeah.
Mark Powell from Rocky Hill.
Beverly Tepper, Rocky Hill, 23 Montgomery Avenue.
So we're here to discuss the draft ordinance 23-16. We have a few comments to make about the present draft. And if council is okay, we'll take you through the numbers of them and give you an indication of what we think. We'll start with 2.1 definitions, sales room winery. A new line, I think, has been included here, which says a sales room shall not include outdoor seating areas. I was curious as to what the intent of that was.
I don't know what that means.
Speak to that?
Well, I thought it was including outdoor seating areas.
So if you have a winery, you can have outdoor seating areas, and they're defined further in below. The issue last time that I believe was raised was that, so for example, the parking standard was one parking space for 150 square feet. So you could theoretically, you have a 300 square foot tasting room, you need two parking spaces, but then you could have basically unlimited outdoor seating. So in order to distinguish that, the sales room doesn't include the outdoor seating area. The parking requirement applies still the 150 square feet. That's basically standard for any retail store anywhere. And then plus one space for every four seats devoted to outdoor seating in the minimum parking requirements. And then for wineries, the tasting room or sales room may be permitted as an accessory use. And then number three in 6.7.3, which further defines the wineries. A winery may include outdoor seating on the premises, provided the seating area is enclosed by fencing, landscaping, or gates at least 36 inches in height, and does not interfere with any necessary pedestrian or vehicular circulation. So in order to address the concerns that I think was spoken, I forget if my associate was here last time, but I believe you guys talked about parking. In order to define the parking for all of it altogether, the sales room and the outdoor seating area were basically severed within the ordinance as two separate aspects of a winery, if that makes sense.
That's fair. Do you not imagine us, for example, establishing a sales area outdoors to accompany that outdoor seating that could be in some way segregated so as to account for the parking associated with it?
You mean, I think it would just count as outdoor seating. Okay, so if you have like an outdoor bar with outdoor seating, that the parking requirement would be calculated how many seats you had out there. And then if you had this, my understanding is that you have, this would all be also be outlined to the ABC, right?
So this would, yes.
Yeah, I mean, so you basically have a sketch plan. I think they make you do it down to the square foot. Mm-hmm. And so our zoning officer pretty much has an easy time. You bring in your license and show him the sketch plan. And he just calculates the parking based on that. That was how we saw it from our side.
Okay. We just weren't clear on.
No, I know. I didn't want to be clear.
Yeah, it had, that the severance of that off had to do with the parking, because other, you know, I don't know if anyone raised that hypothetical here, but the notes that I read is basically you could have unlimited stuff outside according to what we wrote last time.
It was not addressed last time.
Yeah.
Okay. But it would be permissible for us to have like another location where patrons could buy within the property.
If the ABC lets you do it, then there's nothing in this ordinance that prohibits you from having
a secondary
area. Yeah,
it's more convenient for people to have another place. Okay,
that's pretty common for a sales car or an outdoor bar under an umbrella.
Yep. So it's not the sales themselves are not our jurisdiction, right? Okay. You have, if ABC is okay with wherever you're serving, that's fine. That's going to control whatever we do here. We're not going to be able to tell you where you can sell on the premises. The ABC does enough of that, I'm sure. It was more for us, we are in control of the parking, which is obviously the community concern surrounding the surrounding area. So that is what that is intended to address. Not if the ABC says you can sell or serve wherever, that's where you can sell or serve. It's not really up to us as a municipality.
Under the definition of winery, thank you for including plenary.
Yeah, so that makes it more flexible as to the two licenses, I believe.
Right.
Thanks for educating us on that. Also not our jurisdiction here.
So under 6.7 wineries, section A, number 5, thank you for considering our proposal to allow catered food to be served. 6 raises a question of definitions. If I understand what's defined here under 6.7A5, in text that's identical to 6.7B2, those catered foods may be sold in the sales room.
Yes, provided the municipality is mostly concerned with just no kitchen or restaurant.
Yes.
Other than that language attempts to encompass basically every other kind of food you can bring into the place.
Yes.
Right. But our concern was, the last time we were here, I talked about an example of a dinner event that we could envision having, and I had said,
food truck.
I wasn't discussing food trucks. We were discussing the fact that we were not going to have a commercial kitchen, which in fact we cannot have, but we wanted to be able to cater. Yeah. And I brought up several examples of the kinds of events, and I had mentioned a professional organization that I belong to that they might want to come out, and I had said maybe 50 or 60 people as just an example, and we now have a limit of 50 people in this document. That was just an example. We're sort of questioning why should there be a 50-person limit when...
Where is that?
Yeah, I don't see
that's
it.
That's 6A.
The answer I have for you is the planner put that in there. I'm not entirely sure. I'm not sure it's necessary to the overall ordinance if you have the parking requirements. I don't know if the planner had that.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
saw some of the stuff we have is form.
Well, this is new from the last document.
The planner inserted number 6 for special events, which was a part of the discussions last time. I don't know. Look at the notes or something.
So we did a little research. And while we are not particularly interested in being a winery facility, we checked winery facility for
they both start with a W.
We did some research on thenot.com. Anyway, for those of you who have been married or have attended weddings, it turns out that under 50. Only 14% of American weddings are under 50 attendees. So if we wanted to have a wedding, it would only be very small things. And while we're not all that thrilled about having weddings, a limit at 50 guests essentially puts most of the market out of reach.
Even if my professional group, if we had 55 people, I would not be able to have this event.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And I think most weddings are, for the most part, more than 50
people. On average, thenot.com says they're 117. We've seen other, for these special event sorts of things, significantly higher numbers for other wineries.
I mean, I don't have any particular reason why it has to be in there.
No, we can we just...
Does the council have any comments on it?
Yeah. Can we just eliminate it?
No, I think you should still keep a
number.
A number, no?
We would just be arbitrarily picking it here. We could. What I was thinking, because I knew that's someone always wants to pick a number. Madam Clerk. Shall be no more than the ordinary capacity of the facility that you registered for zoning purposes, right? So instead of no more than 50 people, it should really be shall be no more than...
Fire code allows.
Yeah, the ordinary capacity of the facility, or...
But if you get 100 people, how many cars is that? And
well, how about shall be for no more than the capacity of the facility otherwise approved under this ordinance by the zoning officer? Because then you make that basically the capacity.
Okay.
Yeah, and most people don't come to a wedding alone.
No.
At least three or a car.
I mean, in the planner's mind, I don't want to speak for him because, but he put this in there. I think the notion is if you could, there's a lot of property out there. You could have a 1,000-person wedding out there, you brought enough tables and chairs in. And the main concern, as I took it away from the last meeting, was really guys conducting your business. You got plenty of space to do that, and just making sure it's all kind of all in your property. So I mean, I think we could change that to shall be no more than the approved capacity. Approved by the zoning officer. Under this chapter? Under this section? And then basically it just makes everything coterminous. You can basically have whatever event you want there within the capacity that was already
determined.
Just a brief comment. I think to satisfy Councilman Trammell's desire for grappa, you have approved our sales area for brandy. But brandy is a distilled spirit. We can't make
it. We won't have a license for that.
You should thank Councilman Trammell for trying to get that in there for him and for us, but I don't think they can.
And where is that?
That is 11, section 6.7, number 11.
Oh, brandy grow. Yeah. Okay, limited to juices, wine.
And I think that's good.
Yes.
Do you see that, Greg?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, is there a way, I mean, can you also do that if you had a different license?
Yeah, we have to get a whole different license
for that.
So do you want to leave it in?
Yeah, I mean, with all due respect, we're not writing the ordinance specifically for you. So I think we should just leave that in there. We'll just leave that in there.
Thank you.
At some point in time, if you decide to get so drunk.
I think they try to segregate these types of businesses, but...
That makes a lot of sense.
Okay, thank you very much for your time.
All right, yep. No problem at all.
Thank you.
You guys are good?
I believe that's it.
Okay, that's great.
Hey, anyone else in the public?
Thank you for coming.
Again.
And again.
Would anyone else like to come to the mic? It's agenda items only?
Oh, you're right.
Okay. All right, I'm going to close the public portion at 7:33 p.m. Where am I? We come to the minutes. So I have a motion to approve the regular meeting minutes from October 16th, 2023.
I'll make that motion.
Okay. Lou, second it. Roll call.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hurstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Okay, meetings are adopted. Meeting minutes are adopted. We have two items of correspondence. We have Lyons Environmental Services, dated November 8th, 2023, regarding a response to the compliance evaluation inspection that was held on August 23rd, 2023. And we have a letter from the Monmouth County Board of County Commissioners dated November 8th, 2023, regarding our SCAT agreement.
So on SCAT agreement, do we need to have a conversation if we're moving forward with that? Because I'll have a resolution on at the next meeting.
There was some discussion in the spring, I think. Well, for purposes of the public, there was some discussion because actually very few residents use the SCAT bus, so there was some questioning as to whether we should continue funding that because so few residents use it. And then on the other hand, a few residents use it. So how does council feel? Do we know what the actual number is?
It stayed the same. How many people use it?
No.
The dollar amount has remained the same.
Okay.
$155. That's a half pay.
Yes. The contract is right in here.
What do we pay?
$155 for a half day.
Today?
Half a day.
How many people?
Half day, $155.
I think the last I heard was like three people used it.
$50.
But that could fluctuate.
That usually does.
Does it come on a regular basis, or do we order it?
I don't know what the date is when they come. Do they come every Wednesday? I don't know.
They used to come on a regular basis.
They take
residents to the supermarket I'm not sure.
I know that a few people in Solar Village use it. I know that's what came up the last time. So they have to call and schedule. That much I know.
I'll see about it.
I think a lot of people aren't aware of it or just forgot about it. And if we do keep it, we might want to do an outreach on that in the Borough Bulletin or telling people what it can be used for, the nominal cost.
Yeah, we can send out flyers.
Yeah, what is it, like $5 or $3 or something sometimes for...
I'm not sure of that.
It's a very, very low fee to the user. But if it's not being used, it doesn't make sense.
Well, it is. It's just, as of now, it's a low number.
Well, it's been just scheduled as is, not paying for an empty bus to come once a week.
I'll see if Anna knows the answers. When is this? When do we have to?
Their letter stated that they wanted it. It's like all signed agreements returned no later than December 28th, 2023.
Yeah, it takes effect January 1st.
So it's our first or second meeting in December, but
so maybe we can get a little more information and make a decision at the next meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
We could send out a flyer on it too, asking for responses.
Yeah, but if you're using it for a few, do you want to take that away?
No, I, at this point, I don't. I would rather see it used more readily.
Right, that's why we've worked this up, because a few do use it. So would we want to rescind that?
I think that makes it easier to say yes.
Yeah.
No.
Now, here we go.
My goal in sending a flyer would be to let people know that it's there.
It exists.
And more users.
And I know Anna has
was
on one of the flyers.
Yeah.
Okay, so the way it works is that the person themselves has to call and tell them, I want to go to ShopRite, I need to go wherever. We don't call, this senior has to call. So I guess, I suppose it's not on a regular basis. They're just waiting for a resident to call. But we do know that some of the residents use it. So we still want to wait till next?
Yeah, wait till next.
Okay.
So the 150 for half a day is what they then go for?
The borough, correct.
They go through.
Mm-hmm.
They bill quarterly, that much I know.
Okay.
And it could be, I'm not sure if it's every Wednesday that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She doesn't think so.
Anna would know.
She said she doesn't know, actually. She thinks that each person calls Scott.
No.
But do they come regularly?
The total amount.
What does the borough get charged? Do we get charged $155 a week for 52 weeks?
Oh, okay, good question. Okay.
Yeah, I don't have the whole budget in front of me.
And the other issue is that if no one comes, then he doesn't come.
So he's like charged.
We get charged anyway, right?
I don't know. I'll tell you in a minute.
All right, I'll see.
But I can put this on again on the next agenda.
Yeah. More information by then.
We'll find out. We'll get some more information.
Yeah. All right, well, Anna will probably answer this as far as how we're charged. All right, well, while we're waiting, let's go on to ordinances. We have the second reading of Ordinance 2023-14, an ordinance amending Schedule A of Chapter Z, Zoning, to increase, eliminate, and implement certain administrative fees.
That was $10 that we had to make a change for the fence. So you have to open it up to the public.
Okay. I'm just going to add in right here for a minute that Anne is fairly certain that we do pay per week. It's about $1,500 per quarter. And she said we've been paying that bill for decades.
Mm-hmm.
So, I interrupted the second reading of Ordinance 14. Yeah.
We're all
so
over.
Just, that's
we're all over the place.
Yeah, we are. Okay, I'm sorry. So,
we're going to open the public comment at 7:41 p.m.
Right. Does anyone like to speak to our zoning fees? Zoning administrative fees. Mm-hmm. All right, close the public portion at 7:41.
Motion to adopt.
I have a motion to adopt.
You have.
Second?
Oh, second.
Okay, discussion? Roll call?
It's just that one item, 10. Now 25 for a general zoning permit, right?
Right.
We just simplified it, yeah.
All right.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
And Mr. Marker?
Yes.
Okay. Ordinance 2023-14 has been adopted. With the second reading of Ordinance 2023-15, ordinance providing for the capital improvement for the roof replacement at the water treatment plant for the Borough of Roosevelt and appropriating $31,000 therefore authorized in and for the Borough of Roosevelt in the County of Monmouth.
Where's Joe when you read that?
Pardon me?
Where's Joe when you read
that? So, I'll do the public portion. Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm going to open this to the public at 7:42 p.m. Anyone from the public like to speak about the roof replacement? All right, I'm going to close public portion at 7:42. Do I have a motion?
Mm-hmm.
Have a second? Okay, discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Essikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Terpstra?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
All right, Ordinance 2023-15 has been adopted. Now we have Ordinance 2023-16, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance of the Borough Code to include wineries as a permitted use in the Borough's RAG 400 zone with applicable regulations.
Yes.
Let me just read the language that I put in,
yes,
so we're all
please.
On the same page.
Sure.
Yes.
So I've amended the 6.7A6B to indicate special events, shall be permitted pursuant to the following, shall be for no more persons than the occupancy / seating capacity permitted for the winery under this section and or the applicable minimum parking requirements. So you can fit what you can fit.
Thank you. Put some horses there.
And so, Kathleen, just before we do go to the vote, I'm going to email. This one is titled Final for Intro. Last one I sent you was Revised for Intro. This one will be titled Final for Intro.
Okay.
And then I'm running out of adjectives. So.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Roll call.
So,
well, the
motion
second
to adopt on first reading, yes.
Yeah. I'll announce that afterwards. Okay, do I have a motion to adopt? Second?
With the changes that go.
I'll second.
With the changes
as amended.
That.
As amended.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, and ready for roll call? Mr. Essikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Herbstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, the first reading of Ordinance 2023-16 has been adopted. The second reading and public hearing is scheduled for December 18, 2023 at the Roosevelt Borough Hall, 33 North Rochdale Avenue, Roosevelt, New Jersey.
Okay, so this is going to go to the Planning Board for their
yeah, now, the Planning Board normally would have met tomorrow, but there wasn't really anything on the agenda, so it was there's no meeting. But what we'll do is I'll talk to the Planning Board Secretary, we'll advertise it and make sure that there's a special meeting held to approve this, or give our approval,
make
sure
review
and examine, and make sure it's consistent with the master plan, and that will be done before December 18th. The one that was passed recently was supposed to cover like any minor changes, but this will have to be reviewed by them again.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay, we come to the first reading and bond ordinance 2023-17, a bond ordinance providing for a trickling filter evaluation in connection with the wastewater treatment plant, appropriating $100,000, therefore, and authorizing the issuance of $100,000 bonds and notes to finance a portion and cost thereof. Authorized in and by the Borough of Roosevelt in the County of Monmouth, New Jersey. Second?
No, I think we're going to table this because there's a
question.
Oh,
are we going to? I don't know.
We're going to change it to replacement, but then
right.
We heard back.
Okay, there's Anna complaining about the SCAT situation. Oh, let's see. Here we go. The trickling filter wording can be changed at the meeting tonight.
Okay.
Okay.
So we'll need a motion to.
Yeah, who said that?
George.
Yeah.
So we're taking evaluation and we're making it replacement in both the title of the ordinance and in section 3.
So your motion is to accept that as amended, please?
Yes.
You may. Right?
Yeah, Lou will.
Okay, I'll second as amended.
Hold on. Replacement. And in section 3,
Yeah, it's right under the letter A.
Evaluation and change that to replacement. Okay.
And then that should cover the subject of the letter.
Okay, so Lou, you're as amended, correct?
Good to see you read it, Steve.
And Mr. Hamilton?
Yes, as amended.
Discussion? All right, roll call.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hergstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
All right, ordinance 2023-17 has been adopted. First reading. The second reading and public hearing will also be on December 18th, 2023 at the Borough of Roosevelt Borough Hall, 33 North Rochdale Avenue, Roosevelt, New Jersey. Okay, we come to the consent agenda resolutions. We have resolution 23-117, payment of bills for November 20th, 2023, and resolution 23-118, resolution authorizing the award of non-fair and open contract for professional appraisal inspection services for real property data collection services. That was everyone whose house was reassessed recently.
Motion to approve.
What did you say, Lou?
Motion to approve.
Oh, okay. Second?
I'll second.
Discussion? All right, roll call.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hergstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Okay. It's eerily quiet in here tonight, isn't it?
It is. It's very quiet.
No heat's going on, no air conditioning.
Don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
I know.
Okay. Reports of committee chairs. Councilmember Atwood is absent. Councilmember Esikoff, administration.
We are administration.
Good.
Everything is fine.
Councilmember Hamilton, finance.
We'll wait to the next meeting.
Okay. Councilmember Hurstrom, community development.
Well, I can still give an update, on the amphitheater committee, sort of where we are. And I thought we were going to have a discussion about the amphitheater and what Greg had asked. So that here's the two things that we still need to do. Could you just read those two things?
Sure. Let's see. Hold on, I got something on my email. It says, the council deciding the general scope of the project now that the grant funding has been awarded, that is how much money beyond the matching grant the borough will spend and what elements that may or may not include from the original project scope presented. That's number one. And then number two is the adoption of a bond ordinance by the council authorizing the borough's share of the project cost and applying the grant funding, which is obviously dependent upon number one.
Right. So I thought that the first one was going to be on the agenda tonight, which was to talk about how much we were going to do, for those that I had presented some notes, ahead. That we could read and decide how we wanted to proceed. So the other thing that I mentioned is that in my summary, which I can read so that people can know what's happening, here, which is basically due to the FDR Memorial falling into disrepair after being created by Roosevelt residents in 1962, the goal of the FDR Memorial Committee was to build on the history of the town being called Roosevelt, as well as to honor the legacy of the founder's vision for this monument, thereby restoring the memorial to take its place as a more usable space and gathering place at the center of our community. When the Office for the Open Space Trust Fund called for applications for grant monies in 2022, the council decided to mobilize an effort to secure a matching grant and ask the community development council member to spearhead the project. A committee was established with two members from the council and two members from the Fund for Roosevelt, a nonprofit organization. And since the grant would not pay for any design soft costs on the project, the Fund for Roosevelt offered to provide these funds initially for $50,000. Several other community members were part of the committee, including representation from the original designer of the monument, a Sean family member, and representatives of the school board, environmental committee, Roosevelt Arts Project, the planning board, and others with design experience. However, with no bids coming in under the $50,000 amount, the fund for Roosevelt provided another $23,000 for a total of $73,000 for the soft cost, a substantial commitment to this project. A condition of the fund for Roosevelt providing these funds was formalized in a project agreement signed in December 19, 2022, and indicated that the borough would commit to matching whatever grant we would get from the Open Space Trust Fund. Over the next 6 months, an application was prepared and submitted to the appropriate department by the July deadline after the council had passed a resolution authorizing matching funds if a grant was received. The maximum amount offered by the county was $500,000 for projects up to $1 million. Our application asked for $826,554 in total, with the county and the borough of Roosevelt each ultimately committing half of the funds. Though receiving a grant notification of approval in October from the trust fund, the total amount committed for each project was reduced since the county wanted to help more towns after receiving so many applications. Therefore, our project is authorized to receive $330,000. In November 9th council meeting, we asked the council to consider the amount of one half of the $826,000, which is $413,000, with the county providing the $330,000 for a total project cost of $743,000. Until the project is completed and approved by the county, Roosevelt will be responsible for the total cost through the use of bonds. And then thereafter, we would receive the grant money once it's approved, the $330,000. So our committee met on November 16th to review where we may have some cost savings to the original design approved with ETM Associates by modifying the paths, eliminating some removal of trees and plantings, as well as water to the site. In addition, a few items were removed to be considered as part of donations to the project. Discussion on the use of materials is being considered, but these decisions will come during the next few months of the project, as noted on the schedule attached, and that is, just to give you an idea, we have to get an application because we're a historical district, you know, so that sometimes can take 45 days in the process here. But we are assuming right now we have the concept design, and what we are expecting a complete construction document. The first one would be December 15th. We're a little behind schedule right now, but the next one would be around February 15th. So there are two different places where the numbers can firm up, and what I will pass out to the people here is what we came up with after November 16th in meeting with our group to see if we could reduce some of the cost. So what this shows after the reduction from that 826, it came down to $728,250. Now, in those numbers, you'll notice that the subtotal of all of these costs is $606,000. But there's a 10% design contingency, which is another $60,000, and a 10% construction contingency. We're well along in the design contingency, so there could be a little bit different in terms of its funding because of the 10, if we remove some of that 10%. So we have to decide whether we want to have a conservative estimate go in for the bond funding, or are we going to be more aggressive, you know, in that. So, for instance, if you added to that $606,000 another $60,000 for the construction contingency, you know, that's what's bringing us up, then another $60,000 for the other 10% design. That's what's bringing us to the $728,000. So, I do believe that when we go back and ask, you know, for funding. We had originally thought that before we had this estimate that we would come in with about $775,000. So what we're trying to decide is, since we've already committed to the $660,000, the $330,000 from the money from Monmouth County and our $330,000, what we're trying to decide is how do we prepare, provide for the other monies that could be here. So we think that there are some savings to be had, so I think the question is going to be in terms of to go out for the bonding, as I mentioned, do you want to be very prudent, you know, in what you go out for, or do we want to, you know, cut it a bit more? So that's sort of where we are in deciding how we want to proceed. So the 728 is what's, you know, on the table, you know, right now.
Any discussion about this?
Yeah, the main question is, with the built-in design contingencies and construction contingencies, they're adding 10% above. I mean, the numbers that we're working with have a 10%, they're inflated by 10%, because we're assuming maybe a worst-case scenario that prices will come in higher. So we have really no idea whether or not they will or not. Depends on how the bids come in, right?
How many bids come and...
Yeah, how many bidders are there, mm-hmm. and right. what do they come in at? So
yeah, and if you brought in 10, which is during construction. Then
right. Yeah, so I mean, it's really...
And also as far as donation funding, no idea. Could be huge amount, tiny amount.
My question is more to the point, I think, is in the borough of Fort. I don't think they can. There's no way. Folks, you're gonna drive people out of this town, I'm telling you right now. Because you're going to have a $2 million bill for the filters. You're going to have another one for the stormwater management. Remember when Carmella was sitting here, everybody was holding his breath. His and her breath. Because we knew his meter was running. It was going to run. And they're not fooling around. This is for real. We are not going to have the money. We're going to have to tax people very heavily. And the water and sewer bill is going to go up. Because of the $2 million. To the Roosevelt folks, this is not Fifth Avenue and 85th Street.
Well, I'll say for the record, since there's some new people here, we do have a $2.2 million sewer, trickling filter at the sewer replacement that is obligatory. It's being we start soon. That's for sure. We have been able to keep the water sewer bills down stable for quite a few years, but it's a definite that they will be going up, I think, significantly. And with the new stormwater regulations that have come from the state that also are mandatory and need to start immediately, it's going to cost the borough quite a lot of money that we've never spent before. They're very stringent and there's no wiggle room. Everything the state is making mandatory must be done. So just for an example, we usually do street cleaning here every 2 or 3 years. It'll have to be done, what, 3 times mm-hmm. a month? Like a few.
A year.
A year. Right, a year. We usually do it every 3 years. Also,
you're going to do my driver too.
Also, we will have to hire a full-time public works employee. Right now we have a very part-time one who does a wonderful job, but stormwater is going to take up a lot of man hours. And it's not easy to get employees to come out here to our little town and not pay them much. So yeah, we need a professional, experienced, full-time public works person, and that's not going to come cheap. So we have quite a few expenditures that are I don't, as I said this at the meeting the other night, I don't think we've ever been on the hook for so many things at one time here. So taxes will definitely be going up without even considering the amphitheater, and water sewer is going up. So we really have to consider whether that's too much of a burden to put on the residents here. We do have a number of people, quite a large number of people on a fixed income. We also have many of the new residents, I'll say this diplomatically, bought houses here because, let's face it, they're less than everywhere else. Because they're, you know, I don't think as many people are moving here now because of the history of Roosevelt or the community, or they're just buying a house because it's less money than everywhere else and it's beautiful here. And so I'm really not, this is going to be a huge burden on the residents.
I would like to ask Greg a question here. We had an agreement with the Fund for Roosevelt that they were putting in these monies if we would, if we got the grant, match the fund. And we did a resolution and said, yes, we would do that. So what obligation is there, you know, to the Fund for Roosevelt, you know, from us already? Secondly, the same thing happened with the county. We said, don't put in unless you are going to pass a resolution that you will come up with the other half of the funds. So I don't understand how this is being questioned at this time when we've already, as a town, we would never be able to go back and get another grant otherwise, because we're pulling back our work. Is there anything legally, you know, that we have a responsibility for?
Well, I mean, I don't...
Diamond.
Well, I mean, you've just...
Yes, we did.
Did just adequately spelled out what you, what the governing body in 2022 agreed to.
Okay, so that's the 660 right now. So all of these other things about the cost that we're talking about, everyone when we came up with and agreed to that knew about the trickling filters. We knew about these other costs.
We didn't know about stormwater.
Maybe not stormwater, but I haven't heard, you know, how much that's going to be. But all I'm saying is, I don't think people come to the town necessarily for the water. I think it's also the type of town that it is and how it started and our history and the legacy, you know, here. That's my opinion. So I'd like to hear other, you know, people speak to that.
I'd like to ask, what was George Lang's estimate of the increase if all things were the same, if this to the average homeowner, was it 120?
No, I think he said it was 150 a year.
Do you have the numbers? Does anybody?
Well, his was only an estimate based on possibly what we were bonding for.
Well,
like he said, about $150 a year.
Let's say $150 per year, and we're trying to trim this down. That was based on a much larger bond than what we're shooting for. And I think the committee's done a good job of trimming it down and making it very reasonable in a way. At least trying to get as close as we can to matching that 330 that the county gave us. And so I think we could get down to this point where, yeah, it probably will cost people more. And if we can't get more income into the budget, and there's only so many ways we can get income into the budget. I mean, we're not going to put more houses up. We don't have, we're built out essentially. We made that decision years ago not to allow that kind of development that would put a lot of income into our tax base. But when you really think about it, let's say it goes up 140 a year for the average homeowner. $35 a quarter. So every 3 months is $35. Roughly $10, $11, $12. I mean, I pay that for my Netflix app. I do. Or I go out to Starbucks and I object to it because I make my own coffee and it's damn good coffee. But I'll pay $12 for a couple lattes. And I bitch about it too. Yeah. Because that's a lot of money. And I think the problem really is not the huge cost of this project, because we have two great partners. We have the Fund for Roosevelt, and a lot of money came from all of us as citizens into the Fund for Roosevelt to do to preserve all that farmland that we preserved, which is great. So we have a great partner there. Put in $77,000 of money that was hard-earned money, hard to get a lot of donations, but the fund did a great job with that, and we really appreciate it. So they paid for the architectural fees, the design, all of that, and then the county said, we'll pay for half of it. We applied for $500,000. The county came up with $330,000. So we have two really great partners, and we have an amphitheater that is falling apart, literally falling apart. Yeah, it's going to cost money. You don't get anything for nothing, but we've done a good job of repairing things that are falling apart. We haven't added new things. We didn't build new structures, new programs. We're still in the process of repairing things that are falling apart. And how do we do it? We go out and we get grants for part of it. At least part of it, and we aggressively go after those grants. So we went out for this grant too. And by the way, we had a unanimous vote to go out for this grant, to go out for this matching grant, knowing that we would have a share if we got it. And I'm really thankful that we got it. We have two great active partners. And my experience with things that are falling apart is they usually don't get better. I've had a roof at one time that was falling apart. I wished and prayed it would get a little better, but it didn't. It still continued to leak. And so I did it. You know, I replaced the roof. If somebody had come in and said, we'll pay for half of it, and any other expenses, I would have jumped on that right away. So I understand the cost of
it. Did you afford to fix your roof?
Did I?
Could you afford it?
Yeah.
Well, but I'm telling you.
I saved because I saved every day.
Yeah. What I'm telling you is that there are people here that can't afford it.
There always will be.
Well,
we learn for everybody, not just for the few.
The $35 is true. That doesn't seem like a lot of money, except that water sewer is going up, and taxes will go up also because of storm water. So it's not just $35. And the other thing. Pardon me?
I think we're voting on the project. What do we want to do for the bond?
I understand that. I also would like to point out, and I think only two people in this room have lived here longer than I have. I love this amphitheater. I love everything it stands for. I love this town. I want the amphitheater to be repaired and renovated. But I think it's an exorbitant amount of money that we can't afford. And also, I think we have to remember that, or at least keep in mind, that it's an outdoor space. At best, it can be used 6 months a year. I mean, it's an outdoor space. It's not, if it was indoors, we would be able to take advantage of it, all year long. But it's, I mentioned this the other night, we had an event there, Columbus Weekend, which was very early this year, and it was really cold out there, and it was held at the amphitheater, and it was so cold. So you're really talking about a 5.5 to 6 months.
No, I
usage.
Think it's much more than 5.5 or 6 months. I've been out there in October.
April till October is 6 months. There's many months, Mike, that nothing is going to be held there. It's winter or cold spring or.
So what do? Do you let it fall apart? Do we go back on what we went on with good faith? We established a great committee. The council was all, mayor and council were all in favor of it. Go after the grant. I didn't hear any objections at the time when we were applying for that grant that we shouldn't do it, we can't afford it. And we knew that we had trickling failures. And we knew at the time it was estimated to be $3 million. Okay. Now we're down to $2.2 million, okay? But we'll do what we always do and what this council has always done, and that is repair things that are broken, that have been left in disrepair. And we're trying to do it through grants. We won't do it out of pocket. Other councils have done that before. They've they haven't applied for grants.
We can.
And what do? You write a check for the full amount when you have to.
We can fix it for a lot less money.
We've tried it.
No, one time, only one time, and it was a patchwork job.
Then how can you fix it with less money? It's brick.
Already, when you spend
brick gets water behind it, it falls apart.
I mean, we already committed to the 660. We're just talking about the additional amount. Do you want to just go for the 660 and not put anything else in for contingency?
I don't get a vote, so
okay.
There's no sense asking me.
I think you have to go up for some contingency. You can always cancel. What a bond is, and I explained this before, a bond is very much akin to a line of credit. If you don't use the entire bond, you can cancel that money. Let's say we do this and the bids come in much less than the 10% over what they say, and we have like $80,000-$90,000 in that ordinance, we can cancel that. We can cancel that spending. We don't have to spend it. Then that's reduced. If we go in too low and we do run into some issues, which you don't know with construction costs, you might not. I don't know. It's nice to have the leeway in a bond to do that. We could, if we wanted to go and be really close to that 660, we could do that, but that would mean we'd need another funding. Maybe directly out of the budget for whatever overruns that we had, which could be done within the regular operating budget. It's just not a good idea to do things out of the current operating budget for things that are long term, because you're having some people who might just move into town, all of a sudden they're taking, they're not having a deferred portion of it deferred over 20 years. So it's not, it's more equitable, it's more fair to have it, I think, in a bond that's over a 20-year period or whatever the life of this bond is. And that's one of the reasons why you bond, is because, you know, somebody who's new in the town all of a sudden shouldn't pay the whole their share of the whole cost of something. It should be deferred over time and other people and other residents. So
this is actually off the agenda tonight, right? We're not going to vote on this tonight?
No, we're not.
There's no bond.
We need a dollar amount for the...
It's going to be the dollar amount we want to discuss tonight.
The other place is a little juxtaposed is that normally you would bond all the design costs inclusive with the project costs. So the fact that the Fund for Roosevelt is paying for the design costs... that portion has been able to move forward on its own. Whereas if we did, you know, like when we do the roads, the bond includes all that design cost. So, you know, that's why we have a design, really. We usually don't even have that when we start to talk about the bond ordinance. That you noted in my email earlier. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's like if we did a road, that's what it would be, because the bond would be at the beginning. That's how we got to 3 without doing 1 and 2, because someone else is paying for all the soft costs of it.
Right.
I mean, I think you could go as low as 700, but that's...
Which really is 20,000 more than we're already committed to do. We're already committed on that 330.
Right.
So it comes down to, you know, what amount you want to show on the bond. I mean, I think Steve and I have talked about other things in the project. The milling and paving that's in there, what we can do. We're going to look to see if we can make it.
For those people who weren't at the working, when the whole committee got together with the architect, we really did hammer away and took a sharp pencil to certain things, and we said, no, that's excessive. No, we don't need that. And we're really, really trying to get it down as much as we can. So I think we've done due diligence to really work on getting that so that it's not excessive. And I think...
By good definition.
Yeah, well, keep an open mind. If you were there, you might have appreciated it too, but I did.
So did you need a number?
Yeah, I think we should have a number. Now in here. I could go with what's on your sheet. 328.
Yeah. Ask the three colleagues.
And we'll try to get it down further, but at least for the bonding. We're not saying that's what we're spending, we're saying that's what we'll be bonding. So that would be 728.
Lou, are you in agreement with 728?
No.
Steve?
Yeah.
Mike?
I think it's prudent, yeah.
I don't know if I'd use the word prudent, but...
Well, you wouldn't, but I would.
Okay, so you have your number. Anything else from your...
So is there anything then that's settled, if there's three that are moving?
Well, it's not a bond order, so yeah.
No, I know that.
Yeah,
so to,
because we don't have
the funds to give George Lang a number. So can we give George Lang that number? We said yes. So what's
yeah,
the
well,
there's
a quorum here, so yeah.
The next step is to deliver the 728-250 to George Lang.
Okay.
I am not a bond counsel.
Okay.
But he will tell you whether you need a down payment. For certain financing programs, you need a 5% down payment. You have to have that available in cash. I don't know if you have that at this moment. That might have to be done with next year's budget. But George can answer all the next questions. Now that you have a number, so appropriation, if you see here on the bond ordinance we have,
Yes. That's
what we're talking about, right? That's the total appropriation, whether it gets refunded by grant funds, whether part of that is a down payment or what have you. The total authorization number that Mike is talking about is that top line number. It gets reduced by all the other stuff we've been talking about. So George needs to have 728-250
plus the other money that came in.
No, so
okay.
This looks like a total appropriation to perform all this work.
Yes. Yeah.
So the 728-250 will have to be appropriated, period, because we have to pay all the bills before we get reimbursed by the grant.
Yes.
I don't know, sitting here, oftentimes there's at least a 5% down payment requirement on some of these bonds. So whether that is available at this moment at the end of the year in cash to do in December 4th and 18th for another bond ordinance, George knows. I don't.
Okay.
If it's not available, then you're going to have to budget for it in 2024 and pass the bond ordinance. You have to certify that that down payment is available if a down payment is required, which I think it is of a project this size. And then it will say less anticipated grant funds of $330,000, and it'll net it all out. But fundamentally, you're appropriating $728,250, so George needs to know that number, however else he's encumbering it to make up that number.
Okay. So then at the next meeting, I'm assuming, next council meeting, that would... George would bring this in and let us know what can happen.
George has to contact the bond. Number one, has to make sure all those requirements are checked off. I mentioned the down payment because I see that as the biggest limiting factor. Like, I don't know many towns right now that have, you know, 78 grand lying around, let alone one of this size at the end of the year. So I don't know if it requires a down payment. That's the principal conversation you're going to have with George about that number, when that down payment would be available. If it's not required, then he can call the bond council and have an ordinance prepared that looks just like 2023-17.
And who does prepare that?
The bond council.
So you don't do it?
I don't do that. That's why I'm a little fuzzy on the details. If I was doing it, you'd hope I was a little cleaner on it.
Right. Okay.
George did say that he needs a revised detail estimate from the architect before
like
he sends
it. Yeah, that's
the certain.
Bond.
Send that over to him.
George needs this.
Okay. Unless, Kathleen, you want to send it to him.
I could send it to him.
Council moved forward with, voted to move forward the preparation of bond ordinance based upon this cost estimate. And then if there's a problem with whatever, he's going to reply back and say.
Before the meeting, hopefully. Right?
I'm sure he knows whether he has the money available right now.
Okay. So
yeah.
Well, he has to report. Yeah.
And what's the next step here? Does that mean it gets moved into the next year?
If you can't introduce it by December 4th, so he's going to contact the bond council to prepare the documentation to appropriate this amount of money. There's requirements that they're going to check the boxes on. If there's a problem with one of those requirements, he's going to let you know, hey, I don't have the down payment in 2023. I need the grant agreement before I can adopt the bond ordinance, because the bond ordinance is saying that the grant agreement is reimbursing it. You know, they're going to go down a checklist of the funding sources of this appropriation, and if there's an issue with any of them, then he's going to reply back, I can't do this right now.
Is there any reason why it would be stopped other than moved into January if you don't have it right at this moment? I mean, are we ready to say to the consultant to start putting to paper the construction?
Well, so we're spending that's part of the juxtaposition I was talking about earlier, right? You can certainly do that. The money to appropriate to have the design expert continue forward has already been
there.
Given by FFR and has already been appropriated.
Okay.
So they do that at the peril of you need four votes for a bond ordinance back here. So you could design the whole project, and if there's not four votes here when it comes back for the 728, then you just have pieces of paper.
Okay.
And also, it goes out for an estoppel period for 20 days once it's adopted.
Right.
And a petition, that's my public comment, and then after that, you could get a petition. I think it's 10% of the voting.
I don't know. I'm sure people here in Roosevelt know, but that proceeds.
So that, I mean, you're asking, could it be stopped? That's another, could it be stopped?
Yeah. Okay.
So, like I said, normally you wouldn't be able to tell a design professional, hey, continue on, because he or she would be being paid by the bond ordinance. But here you have the option. It's really how much risk the borough is willing to take on, or, you know, it's up to you guys, more or less. Matter of discretion.
Okay.
There's nothing legally stopping you from continuing forward with the design professional.
So, in talking with Kathleen, there's a couple issues that have surfaced that she said that usually it's taken care of by the engineering firm, like Canola Roberts, do the whole project. We're coming up with a couple things that, you know, I don't know all these pieces that are going to come in or where they fit, you know, and everything. If you can guide me, you know, on this. So if we need a meeting at the end of this closed session to do this, or what?
How do you mean?
A PASI has to be done, wetlands delineation.
Yes. Which, you know, Fundroso is already.
I thought that was part of BTM scope.
For Fundroso. But there are certain things, it's responsibility of the client to have the wetland flag surveyed and incorporated within the property survey. So I know Steve is going to do some, but I don't know whether that. Does he have to have a licensed person to do it? Whether it's that
well, you have to, they have to do the wetland. They actually go out and flag the wetlands, and then
and
the surveyor, which would be me,
yes.
Come in and locate the flags and put them on the map. So
okay.
It's a two-part operation. I'm not a wetlands
okay.
specialist.
So it's the responsibility to have these wetland flags surveyed and incorporated, you know, into it. So that's only the second piece of it, and they're doing the other piece. That's what it sounds like. I would like you to read this, right?
Well, I mean, it says the restoration of the FDR Memorial Amphitheater, updated 10/16/2023, that we approved last time for $23,000, right?
Yes,
yeah.
It says wetlands delineation, estimated cost, seeking proposal. So I thought ETM was taking care of that.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, and then we do the other part. I just want to understand, like you to read this just to make sure I'm reading it. Approve
that
file. Just send it. Yeah, you have a copy.
Who's that from? Is that
summary?
That's from ETM?
Yeah. It's based on the information I provide. Wetlands litigation and permit analysis. The entire project site is 2000. And then there's another piece on here. I'm not sure. We're trying to understand what LOI, TAW, GPS, 6 to 7,000.
That's a lot of interpretation. That's the.
That's for the wetlands.
That comes back from the DEP.
DEP permit.
They take a look at the mapping that our wetlands expert does and kind of rubber stamp it and
Okay.
And give you a letter back.
Okay.
If I can make a suggestion to you.
Yes.
Those are technical items. Okay. So if ETM is going to do some things and not others, then I would connect ETM with the borough engineer to figure out what the missing puzzle pieces are,
okay.
And so that our borough engineer can give us a cost proposal for the missing puzzle pieces, for lack of a better term.
So the PAFI, which we looked at that and said we had to have the borough engineer to provide that to the county before we get the grant to sign off on, and that they're waiting for that piece. And so I started the process with Anna, letting Camilla know, but nothing has happened yet, so I'm not sure how to push it forward.
Yeah, I didn't see a response.
So how do we push it forward is the question.
You put the engineers together to figure out what the total scope of what is needed. And then the borough engineer provides us a cost proposal, and you guys sit here and consider it. That's usually, that's how we do it for, like, when the DEP calls Carmel and says, we need stormwater,
okay.
XYZ, we get a letter here, XYZ costs X amount of dollars.
According
and then
to the county, they said, look, your borough engineer will know what a PAFI is and just do it. You know, so do we have to say then, next meeting, or
well, Carmella doesn't
do it. Do we want her to give us an estimate?
She always gives an estimate on anything additional.
All right.
So, yes, she would have to.
So if it comes from Anna, is that sufficient? You know, or
yeah, or you can call Carmella and ask her as well. Because Carmella just needs the information about what you need done.
A PASI on that project.
I have no idea what that is. That's my problem. That's why I'm pointing you to her, because she'll know.
Preliminary assessment site investigation.
Look at you, Adam Kerr.
But I don't know what it does, but I just know that.
The key is whatever that sounds like it. That sounds like it costs money.
Yes.
So what, if it costs money, and it's from the borough engineer, you just need to ask her for a proposal. Whether Anna does it or you do it, it's per.
I was going to say, but it has the money ready for her.
I see a permitting line in this construction proposal. There's nothing that precludes you from paying people other than, like the DEP permits we're talking about. I assume that's part of that $10,000. I'm just not sure what's subsumed in here, what isn't. And it's very, line item number two is permit fees. So Steve was just describing, you got to pay a fee for them to look at the delineation.
Okay.
You already have some stuff in here for allowances for that.
I'll check with him first and before.
I just don't know. We're into the technical details of the project at this moment.
Yes.
The engineers talking to each other, I think, would help. Yeah.
Yeah. So because
they speak the same language, and then Carmel will know exactly what pieces are missing from. It seems like you have a pretty good handle on it, but you see by a blank face, I think you got to talk to the engineers.
Yes. Right.
It's now at the point where the engineers have to do a couple of things, that wetland delineation with DEP and PASI.
Right.
I don't think you have the time to do that, to be honest, truthful with you, because I think you're going to wait for the down payment. You're going to end up waiting for the down payment into next year, so you're going to have the time to put that together, I think.
I don't think you're going to have a bond at the next meeting, he's saying, because
I don't think George has $78,000 sitting in there, $72,000 sitting in the back, or $36,000 sitting in the back for
5%. That would have been helpful to know that he was here last week.
I don't know that that's a requirement.
There's no way we can do this by the next meeting. We're just waiting for information.
He might. I don't know.
About what?
Down
payment.
$78,000 laying around.
Oh, I don't know about that.
It's 36 for 5%. That should be more accurate.
But we need to talk to George, that's all.
Yeah, you got to talk to George about how to get the money aspects together and what check boxes you need to. And it sounds like there's other check boxes that we need to make sure are checked, but they're pretty technical as to the engineering. So Carmella will know right off the bat. You put Carmella on ETM on a 20-minute phone call about the project, and they'll have a list of everything you could possibly need to get there.
And from your standpoint, that is all that George is going to need for the bonding.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to remember that you can't cross over, introduce a bond, and adopt in the following year. So if all our paperwork is not ready for December 4th, it's not going to happen until next January.
Which is only one meeting left.
So it doesn't help us to do anything until January, is really what you're saying.
I find it hard. I just don't think that the bond ordinance, if you ask, I do this for a living, if you ask me to bet whether it's going to be here in 2 weeks with a down payment and everything checked off and all the boxes checked, it's probably not.
Okay.
So that's why I think you have the time to get the engineers together to figure out the rest of the checklist. But George is pretty good. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't want to undersell, you know, anybody else that works here, but that's a big thing to do in 2 weeks.
Okay, so I would also ask you to ask George, in that note, to call Karen at her number by this time, because if I get messages, I get no call. So I just need to have a way that we're not wasting 2 weeks just to hear about it. I'd like to know the next couple of days.
I can't guarantee you're going to hear in the next couple of days.
Bring him to call me?
I can't speak for him.
Okay.
I'm just saying, with Thanksgiving and everything else, I don't know if you're going to hear. But we'll see.
Okay.
My thoughts are
okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Anything else, Connie?
Let's see, the senior group, Roosevelt group, has the next meeting Tuesday, I believe it's the 5th, and it will be their Christmas party, cookies and
next Tuesday or December
5th? December 5th.
Oh, December 5th.
So, can we put that on the website in case any other seniors would like to join?
Sure.
Come that day?
Yeah, great. Okay, I think that's it.
Okay, thank you. All right, Councilmember Mopper, Public Works.
Nothing much. I think the county's been around working on our backing out the storm sewers. I think that's our big news for the month.
Exciting news.
That's great from Public Works. Thank you.
Because
yeah, more than that, we got problems.
Was there anything more figured out on Farm Lane, whether anything has to be done in addition?
What happened on Farm Lane?
The last meeting on Farm Lane, there was a discussion about they may have to dig it up again, part of it.
Oh.
And I'd just like to know what happened. You know, and who's responsible, and is that right now?
I think Joe said they were trying to find a video of that. So the video was done about a year ago or something, is that? It's about a year ago. And they can't find the video. If you wanted to, Carmela, to look at that video to see what condition it was in at the time. And the question is, should more work have been done on that or not?
You know, Anna had information and an opinion about that. At the time, and I questioned her the next day, but to be honest, I don't remember what she said, but I think she said it wasn't something that could have been foreseen or prevented. She knew about it. I just remember exactly what she said.
Okay.
So, Michael, do you have anything from as a borough official?
No, I don't.
No? Okay. We'll come to unfinished business. Does anyone at the table have any unfinished business they'd like to bring up? Okay. How about new business? All right, so moving along, I will open the floor for public comment on any item at all at 8:36 p.m. Anyone from the public, Tim? I like your sneaks.
Thank you. Tim Hartley, 29 Farm Lane. I would like to talk
briefly about a subject that subject is possible mandatory removal of hazardous trees from private property. I'm a member of the Environmental Commission, but I'm not here representing them. This has been discussed at Environmental Commission meetings a bit, and I think the general sense was that the other commission members felt that what I'm going to propose this evening was worthwhile. I'll read from my notes because I do better that way, and I have copies that I'll hand out for council members' consideration following that, and for the benefit of the other council members that aren't here. Start with a couple of facts. Dead trees, for the most part, are a beneficial part of the natural environment. Woodpeckers love them, owls love them, other critters. I love woodpeckers and owls. So dead trees, in general, are a good thing. Hazardous dead or dying trees are a risk to utilities, property, and life. And that last one is important because people think, oh, it's just a tree can come down, what's the big deal? I'm going to give you three examples of what can happen. In 2009, a woman named Mary Catherine Ladney was out for a jog in Philadelphia's famed Fairmont Park when a 30-foot branch came off a tulip poplar tree, and it was large enough to be a tree on its own, the branch. It fell 50 feet to the ground, struck her, and killed her instantly. In March of 2013, a 12-year-old Connecticut girl, Gabriella Hudak, was struck fatally on the head by a tree which collapsed in her own backyard. In August of that same year, 2013, a 30-year-old New York woman, Ying Yi Li, was sitting on a park bench in Queens when she was crushed and killed by a falling oak tree. She happened to be 5 months pregnant at the time. Those are the sort of things that Roosevelt doesn't want to join the statistics about. Sorry. Another fact, the height of a dead tree or a dying tree and the direction of its lean towards any of the following are what define it as being hazardous. Utility lines, either in the public right-of-way or within private property as the lines come to the house. The public right-of-way itself, forgetting about the utility lines, just people walking in the public right-of-way, the street or paths that the borough owns, and nearby structures on adjacent properties. And I should amend that because I said on my notes here, nearby structures, but it's really structures or other occupiable parts of adjacent properties because you may be in your yard or your driveway doing something that's not in the structure, and if there's a tree coming at you from next door, it can still kill you. Another fact, the borough has recently retained tree experts to assess the health of trees on borough land and make recommendations for removal of any of them that are deemed hazardous. Both experts have acknowledged that a hazardous tree that is even 1 foot within a private property line is just as dangerous as if the same tree were 1 foot outside the line. It's a big tree, and 1 foot difference in how it falls is irrelevant. The borough currently has ordinance language that requires a tree removal permit for property owners wishing to remove any trees from their land and is being proactive regarding hazardous trees on borough land, but does not have any language mandating removal of hazardous trees from private property. Next fact, several other New Jersey municipalities do have ordinance language requiring removal of hazardous trees. Their language is pretty sketchy. I think we could do better if we, try for sure. The borough currently also has ordinance language requiring removal of bamboo and limiting the height of shrubbery near street intersections, both of which conditions are arguably constitute less of a public risk than a really large hazardous tree that could come at you. Okay, those were the facts. A couple of conclusions and recommendations. Dead trees of a certain size and proximity to the public right-of-way or neighboring properties pose a significant threat to property and or life. In the interest of public safety, the borough should mandate that private property owners are required to remove such hazardous trees from their property. If there arises a question as to whether a specific tree is hazardous, that determination should be made by an impartial tree expert retained by the borough, which we already have some at our beck and call. And the ordinance language requiring removal of hazardous trees should probably be added to Chapter 12 of the Municipal Code, which is currently titled Property Maintenance. Falls into the category of, you know, making sure your sidewalk isn't a dangerous thing. That's essentially it. I'd be happy to answer any questions that council members may have at this time. And also, if authorized, I would be more than happy to work with the borough attorney on developing the best language for such ordinance. It doesn't have to be a lengthy thing. I said the other municipalities that I researched have a sentence or two about it. I'm sure we can do a lot better with three or four sentences.
Can you tell me which municipalities have that?
Glad you asked. There are probably more, but the four that I dug out so far were Highland Park, Jackson Township, Manasquan, and Princeton. And as I say, most of them, they kind of lump it in with other stuff, but essentially boils. The general intent appears to be that dead or dying trees are to be removed by the property owner when they are determined to be hazardous to public safety. That's the sort of catchphrase that shows up a lot.
So the code enforcement officer would have to, they would be contacted by the person who sees that tree leaning toward their property and says, I would like it removed under the ordinance. And then they'd come to the town, and the town would provide notice that they need to remove it within X amount of days. Is that the way it works?
Yes, I think that's essentially it. It could
is
either
it
be
code enforcement or a certified tree expert.
Well, the initial notice of a dangerous tree can be anyone. We have our own code enforcement officer going around town if he happens to see something like that. I mean, they normally are looking at trees that might be coming down on a power line or something. But if they just, you know, expand their consciousness a little bit, say, well, that tree isn't aiming for the power line, but hey, it's leaning toward that person's driveway, and you know, their 8-year-old could be playing in the driveway next week and get taken out by that tree. So it could be the code enforcement officer, it could be any of the council members, or members of the environmental commission, or members of the public, anybody that happens to notice a dangerous situation and brings it to the attention of probably the code enforcement officer to be the one to contact the specific, you know, property owner in that case. I think for the most part.
And if the property owner says that he doesn't see any danger to the tree, do we have to get
a certified tree expert? Yes, that's the sort of thing that might happen. I mean, I think for the most part, the residents of Roosevelt are fairly good about looking out for each other.
Well, the main, issue that I can see is that perhaps the homeowner says, yeah, I know, but I don't have $1,500.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Does anyone know the average cost of having a tree removed? I know it's extremely expensive. I know that.
Well, it can be anywhere from, you know, probably several hundred dollars as a minimum if it's a relatively small tree,
right,
up to maybe a couple of thousand for a much larger tree.
I think that places a real hardship on, especially now when the economy, things are more expensive than they ever were. We all know that. And as I said, our taxes are going up, our water sewer is going up, and to require people, I think tree removal is just exorbitantly expensive.
Well, we're not talking requiring people to remove trees that just are unsightly. We're saying if there is a tree that's big enough and has enough of a lean toward the street or
couldn't the neighbor just offer to pay? Say, how about if I pay for you to take that tree down?
Well, if the neighbor wants to do that, that's fine. But the owners should not be on neighbor A when they don't have the ability to go onto neighbor's B property and take out a tree.
Well, right now, if a tree falls on your lawn, it was your neighbor's lawn, you have the responsibility of paying to have it removed. That's
yes.
The law.
Yes, but I'm really thinking more not about the cost of the tree, you know, to be removed. I'm thinking about the value of a life that might be saved.
Yeah.
Number of people have grandchildren and grandparents and so forth.
I walk my dog. I'm always worried that, but I just think that to require that when it's so expensive, it could be a real hardship. Most of the towns you named, for the most part, are wealthier towns, wealthier people living there. And that's just my, I just have questions about placing the hardship on people who simply don't have several hundred dollars or a couple of thousand dollars to do that.
Well, I guess my view is if they are that strapped, then they can take out a second mortgage. They can borrow from friends. Maybe they can come to the council and ask for some help in that regard.
Well, who would help them? That's not...
But if there are lives at stake, which is what this is, I'm not talking about just, like your car getting dented. I'm saying your grandchild getting crushed by a tree. I don't think we should consider the fact that it's a bit of a financial hardship on certain people as a reason not to do it.
Right.
Well, everything has potential danger. I mean, you get into your car, and it's the luck of the draw. I agree with you. I really do worry all the time about a tree falling on me when I walk the dog, almost every time. I just think making it a requirement is a hard thing.
I think it should be a requirement. It's a matter of public safety, and if it's dangerous...
And what happens when someone doesn't have the money to do it?
Well, I don't know.
They get fined.
Go to court.
They're fine.
They get
fined.
What if the town...
Well, I'm sure other people will speak to it, so if you don't have anything else, then we can respond to whatever person next has any, Rainey wants to talk, so we can also respond to her.
Copies for the council?
Thank you.
Do you have any copies of ordinances in the other towns? You said they were kind of...
Yeah, I have excerpts. I can forward that to you. So they're not very well written.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Greg would agree to that. We have to go and look at it.
And they're in the property maintenance code.
Yeah,
they're usually in the property maintenance code. They usually refer to proximity to the right of way, things that make them more hazardous than something else. And then they're pretty broad because there's a lot of different circumstances they can encompass.
In terms of my request to possibly work with the borough attorney on that, is that something that I might hear back from or that the council can even...
Well, I think we have to discuss it before we see how everyone feels about it. I mean, probably wait for a full council, get everyone's opinion.
Super. Thank you.
You're welcome. Rainey?
Well, hang on.
Name an address. Name an address.
Rainey Hartley, 29 Farm Lane.
Oh, you live with that guy over there.
I don't understand, because if the town says they can't afford to pay for an electrical line that falls down and get it repaired, I don't understand how it's different. Because also when I believe Tim called up some insurance companies, our insurance company, which is a good insurance company, and they said, well, if it's not on your property, we're not liable. Too bad somebody got killed. So it's like you're not allowed to go onto their property to remove the tree, but then again, you don't get covered by any kind of insurance either, which seems ridiculous to me.
Mike.
Yeah, Michael Clifton, 37 North Valley Road. I had occasion to have this issue come up because the property that we have on Tamara Drive is vacant land. There was a tree that was hazardous, and the property owner of the adjoining property said that he was, that this was a threat to him. So so we took care of it. But this is certainly a realistic thing. I think the property first you look at the property maintenance code, because the property maintenance
code. I did look at it.
Yeah, the property maintenance code very likely says that you can't, that you know, it's a violation of property maintenance code to do that.
No, wait, to do what?
What?
Because it says it doesn't address actually trees.
It doesn't. You look at the property maintenance code, it doesn't address
the
it.
Trees,
well, then we need just supplementary ordinance to address it, because the property maintenance code says that, you know, supplementary says that you have to maintain your property, you know, in a way that it's not hazardous to anybody else. So I think that's certainly an obvious hazard to anybody else if such a situation exists. No, I was just saying though that the we went through this, and you know, so we said yes, of course we have to pay it. So we took care of it for them, but nonetheless, that would be a problem if we said, oh no, we're not going to do anything, and he can't come on the property to fix it. So it does create a problem that should be addressed in the ordinance. Okay.
Hey, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any truth to if my neighbor has a dead tree on the property, and I'm worried it's going to fall on mine, that if I notify the neighbor, that shifts the onus onto the neighbor for any damage that the tree might do? At least that's what one of our...
I mean, it's
negligence law, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I would, if you had somebody doing that, I would do that also.
Yeah, provided with a notice, obviously you have to prove the case later, but fundamentally, prove the tree was... They weren't taking care of there.
I think that's what my parents told me.
Think about it this way. I mean, the tree's no different than, let's say someone has a shed, right? It's next to a fence that's next to your driveway. If the shed's about to fall down and it falls down and knocks the fence down into your car, you know, they're liable. The person who owns the tree is liable for it. Mm. The rights you have as the adjoining property owner is you can go right up to the property line and cut whatever's there. If you're talking about an 80-foot tree that's 20 feet that way on the property line, is what it is. Their responsibility.
You stole my comment.
Sorry.
You're talking about a dead tree, right?
I get paid, so no problem.
I don't know if you can talk about the point of a dead tree.
Well, you could. But yeah. I mean, if there's an 80-foot tall tree, I mean, I know of an example, 80 feet tall, 15 feet that side of a property line, yeah, there are a couple of branches that come across that could be snipped, but that's not the issue. It's right. The 80-foot tall trunk that can then fall and hit something 80 feet, you know, this way.
Tom Curry, 3 Pine Drive. Okay, so aside from being able to cut the branches and grossly negligent, I would notify your neighbor if that was it, so that you really have a case, you've notified them. But the you know, the other thing with the trees would be, and now I've lost my train of thought.
It's called a senior moment.
Hey, listen, I work at a senior community. What do you want from me? The cost, when you're talking about the cost of it. And it's true, it would be a hard hit for someone if they just learned about it. But trees don't die overnight and become hazardous overnight. It would be multiple years. You know, the oak trees around here, I had one on my side yard, took 10 years to die. And so it's not something that happens right away. You realize it's going to happen. You know that tree's going to have to come down. You can be saving for it. So it's not a ridiculous ordinance to ask for. I think it's smart. There's a lot of people that don't maintain their property. And just like your example of an electric line down, this is something they can actually see is happening slowly, unlike, you know, something that came down and they had to take care of right away. So I agree with you. It's a good ordinance. That's not the only thing I wanted to say. I just want to thank you for going further with the bond ordinance for the amphitheater. I won't speak for the Fund for Roosevelt, even though I'm president. I won't do that. But I'm just thankful that you are. It was a difficult decision for the board to come up with that money. Everybody seems to think the Fund for Roosevelt has endless amounts of money, and we don't. We have a very fixed amount of money that is getting smaller all the time because we keep picking off little projects. We once did the actual Roosevelt bust. We paid to have that restored for the town also. That was about 12 years ago. And so we've always felt this is very important to the town. Yes, it is. I was honestly shocked by the amount of it. But again, this is an engineer's estimate that you have. You don't know where the bids are going to come in. You certainly put your extra money in, as you did, because that's going to make sense. You always do a contingency because you don't know where you're going to go. As far as concerns with increases in costs, we all know the sewer plant. I mean, that's been You know, I've been here 25 years and I've been hearing about the sewer plant and that one day we're going to get hit again with it. We know it's going to happen. But that's just part of living in Roosevelt. And as far as cost of everything going up, I mean, our taxes have gone up thanks to the school, but your municipal taxes haven't been going up even close to inflation. Inflation over the last 3 years, it's over 6%, over 8.5%, 3.5% this year. I don't see the taxes going up like that. So you guys got room to move. You know, people are going to complain all the time, but the reality is, prices and everything are going up, and you've got it. I'm sorry, taxes are going to go up. You're going to be paying more to live here because that's life. And as far as people buying houses, one down the end of Pine Drive, down by your house, 560. One over on Lake Drive right now, 50508. I know that one very well.
Curry, yeah.
So people are buying, and you have people coming in paying more than they ever did. Our houses are worth more than they ever were. As long as you know, maintained it and upgraded it and kept it going. So don't be so afraid. We've been through this a zillion times, right? How many times? The water plant, we had to do it. We came up with the money. We have bond issues. You can work it out. It's a lot. It's scary.
Well, what bothers me, I think, is that it's a lot for a part-time space. It's not going to be used in the
winter. It is. There are only three spaces in the entire town that people can gather. This room, right, the school, and the amphitheater. And we use the amphitheater for multiple things. For graduation, you use it for 4th of July. Heck, you just had the Raptors use it for several events. That wonderful one, that Gus did. But
the open mic.
The open mic was fantastically. I mean, you had a couple hundred people there. It was wonderful. So, and that's in a space.
And that's four things.
Right, I know. But the problem is, if it was a nicer facility, you may use it more. The other thing that I see with it is, right now, it is a hazard. It's a hazard. It's a liability to the town because the kids mess around over there. Someone will get hurt on that. One of those, the giant oaks, we talk about trees. Go look at the oak to the left when you're looking at it that has the ivy growing in it that's a dead as a doornail. Well, that's going to probably one that's coming down to this, I would hope. These are things that, you know, the town would normally have to go out and hire a tree contractor and pay $3,000 to get that thing taken down. But if it's part of this grant, you're getting
$330,000
from the county going, hey, you guys have never applied for this grant before. Here's your money. Sure, we didn't get what we had hoped for, but hey, don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Well, I'm trying to be the devil's advocate here because I do think there's some genuine concerns about the amount of
there's
money.
There's always concerns with it. You know that, Peggy. I mean, holy mackerel.
You know.
I know all too well.
Right.
I didn't even want to come here for that reason. But the last time I came here, holy crap. You weren't here. It was the firehouse.
I'm lucky.
And you know what? the firehouse, which is a life-saving entity.
Yeah, and look, I don't
want to spend $1 million.
We had 16 volunteers, free fire trucks. They were brand new to us, and yet we didn't do it, which was insane to me. But now we're paying for it, and you're going to pay more now because the rescue squad to Millstone. It's just going to keep going up and up and up. But again, it's good. We have a good service. They're here. They work. You know, things change.
I just have concerns about the use of the space and the money. That's all.
It is. Like, and it scares the crap out of me to think that you could go through this and then get your 10% of the people to throw the bond issue like we were trying to do before out the window. And for Roosevelt, will be out $70,000-some for nothing. And that would be really bad.
Listen, when I lived here, which Michael may remember, and Lou, I mean, remember Evelyn Datz used to hold a Hiroshima Remembrance Day every August 6th. There were many, many. I love that space. But I'm the mayor, and I have to make sure that everyone is sort of accounted for. I have to worry about the people that the money is going to be a hardship, particularly for something that is not indoors.
You're preaching to the choir here. Listen, I manage Rossmore, okay? So I hear it every day, but I
God bless you. Is that where you're at?
I'm at Rossmore, yeah.
Like my great granddad lives there.
And
God bless you. I'll pray for you, buddy.
Hey, you know what? Everybody lives there. More people than I know. People I went to school with.
Very nice. You do a very nice job. Very well kept.
But the same issues come up there all the time, all right? They used to talk about increases and, you know, oh, it's going to be $1 a month more. When I talk now, it's percentage now. I don't talk dollars, it's percentage. What did inflation go up? We're sticking the nearest inflation as we can because that's reality.
And the reality is we're tiny.
For
we're
the
tiny
sake of having an orderly
budget.
Meeting, I'd like to make a point of order. Some public portion. Let's let the public talk, and then let's get the hell out of here.
Okay, I'm done. Sorry, Mike.
No.
I hate when people just keep dialing.
We can go back and forth the whole night.
Well, we've always let the public talk.
You guys got to get out of here. I got to go home. It's not something I was going to have my head.
No, well, we generally interact with the public.
But it's okay.
Is there anyone else who would like
to... So you're going to be public works director again? I see a candidate right here.
For what?
Public works. She's an expert. Did it for years.
She has experience.
Drove the bus. Was the crossing guard.
You're great.
Does anyone else want to come to the mic? All right. We're going to close public portion at 9:02 p.m.
Not yet. That's not a closed session.
Have a good night. This was a lot of fun. God bless you that you're still doing this.
That's true.
Have a happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yes, everybody have a happy Thanksgiving.
Okay, Kathleen will read. We're going to have a closed session, so Kathleen will read the...
Okay, Resolution 23-119 provided for a private executive meeting that excludes the public. Whereas the Open Public Meetings Act, enacted October 21, 1975, permits a public body to exclude the public from meetings or portions thereof wherein matters are to be discussed which are exempted from the requirement of the Act. And whereas the said Act requires that prior to the holding of a meeting or portion thereof from which the public shall be excluded, the public body should adopt a resolution at public meeting providing for the holding of a private meeting. And whereas the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt has determined that a meeting should be held from which the public should be excluded in order to discuss the subject in which an exemption under the said Act. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Borough Council as follows. That the next portion of this meeting be held in private session. That the general nature of the matter to be discussed relates to the matter contractual agreements. That no official action will be taken at this meeting, but minutes shall be kept and shall be available to the public after official action on the subject matter has been taken. It is anticipated the discussion conducted in closed session can be disclosed to the public after no further action is required in this matter. So that was Lou first, second.
I'm second.
Okay, I'm going to do roll call. Mr. Atwood?
Not here.
Okay. I said Mr. Atwood and checked Mr. Essikoff. Sorry, Mr. Essikoff? Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertstrom?
Yes.
Ms. Grimacher?
Yes.
Okay, so we're in at 9:04. So before we start, I have to
turn that off.